Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke, Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to a Friday edition of Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Brian Kelly. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. How you doing, big guy?
Doing well. It's a Friday.
Yeah.
I got my it's my Russian gangster Friday outfit.
Just a full sweatsuit.
I got the full Adidas going on. It's pretty awesome.
There you go.
For the holiday, I got myself another jacket. So now I have a dill green, and I also have a nice navy.
There you go. Well, I'm glad to see that you're expanding that tracksuit collection. That's very nice of you.
I'm embracing getting older.
And folks, welcome to the big show. If you are listening here in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 or in Waukesha on the Shaw or on a litany of other radio stations across the Civic Media Network here in Wisconsin, give us a call. Share a tangent with us here on this Friday afternoon, 844-967-2789. We're going to be joined later in the show at 2:30 by Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign because there's a lot to talk about.
I got some questions for that guy.
We've got some questions for him. Just a vigilante of good governance and keeping an eye on dark money and a variety of different things that are important to democracy and threatening democracy here in Wisconsin and abroad.
I think we have a right to extra tax money refunds, and I think I want to ask him about this theory that a caller brought up, actually. It's not even my idea.
There you go. Well, so we'll get a chance to ask those questions of Matt Rothschild at 2:30. But between now and then, Brian, it is the two-year anniversary of the Capitol's insurrection that occurred on January 6, 2021. Last year, in Statuary Hall, President Joe Biden gave a speech commemorating the one-year anniversary. Today, he's giving out Presidential Medals of Freedom to the heroes that fought off the mob 2 years ago today. It was about this time, Brian, the mob pretty much onset onto the Capitol steps, over the barricades, and breaking windows, threatening the lives of officers. There's a lot that's happened over the last 2 years, and there's still accountability that needs to be had. But
of course,
we also have a different kind of crazy going on. We get to see what Republican governance looks like, Brian.
Well, that's the best part, is because the effect of the idiocy that I keep telling everybody, guys, we're witnessing history.
Yeah, first time since before the Civil War that it has taken more than 13 ballots to elect a Speaker of the House.
Yeah, we're witnessing history, really effing stupid history, but it's history nonetheless. And we're gonna have to give context to people who are gonna go and tell this history later on. We're gonna have to explain. All right. I understand. All right, listen. Within the same couple of years, people were eating Tide Pods. There was belief somehow.
That's the marker that you choose to start this historical timeline.
Because it's a neutral thing. It's not, you got to understand we were at the height of all of possible intelligence. We're on the verge of discovering. We're on the verge.
Yeah, rovers on Mars, AI just becoming online, and you choose eating Tide Pods is the historical marker of where you want to tell this story.
I'm qualifying the history. My point is the impact that Damar Hamlin had. By the way, Damar Hamlin is
breathing on his own
and talking, apparently.
Mm-hmm. FaceTime with the Buffalo Bills earlier today. Is able to speak on his own. Looks like miraculous steps have been taken in his recovery process.
He did himself a lot of favors by having, I don't know, the supreme athlete's body. It really does help in the recovery process, I'm told. Especially being 24, that also helps with, you know, having cells that like to regenerate and not like, all right, again. Point is that the NFL, that injury had such a huge impact, because if you're going to tell the history of what happened now, years from now, if you don't include the NFL as a factor in the cultural history of the United States, then you are not telling the full story.
And I appreciate that in telling the full story about how Congress is where it is today, that historians are going to need to include the fact of Tide Pods.
You got to understand, like, kids, like, we had all of the access to intelligence at our hands, and still kids are like, Tide Pods, and I'm pretty sure the Earth is flat.
Yeah, the flat earther theories out there as well.
It came back
like, pretty troubling.
Like, who knows? Like, who? And like, people like that get elected, and this is the result of people like that getting elected right now.
Yeah.
But my point is, you have to put all of that crap into one mix just to even understand how Lauren Boebert exists. That's or bad. How Matt Gaetz, who's probably one of the worst human beings.
Still don't understand how he's in Congress, because are there still not investigations into child sex trafficking with Representative Gaetz?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff there, but also he got applause from the Democrats for a speech he gave against Kevin McCarthy today. How does that happen? If you told me that Matt Gaetz is going to give a speech about Kevin McCarthy without knowing the context of the situation, and the Democrats would applaud, how many months would you have said no up until, like, maybe I think a week ago? I think I would have said that's impossible, that would never happen. And yet here we are, where Matt Gaetz is giving a speech and Democrats are applauding.
Well, and Brian, in that context, in Washington, D.C., for this speaker's election, it looks like there is going to be the need for a 14th ballot. 13 is not going to get it done for Kevin McCarthy. He had six defectors, so the GOP is still waiting on at least two holdouts. And this is kind of the math that everybody watching the situation knew this would be the hardest hurdle to overcome. The fact that there were 20 GOP representatives not voting for Kevin McCarthy allowed it to get to this point, but there was always 5 to 6 hardline no's for Kevin McCarthy to receive the speakership. And so we knew that it was going to be the hardest hurdle was to go from that 5 or 6 down to only 4 defectors. It is the most he can lose and still receive the speakership. And so it looks like we're going to be going to a 14th ballot. This is not going to be done yet. There were signs that we might have a Speaker of the House before the weekend. But as of right now, Brian, we do not know how this is still going to end.
Folks, I gotta tell you, before I came on here, I was telling Kristen and Jane.
Terrific host and producer of As Goes Wisconsin.
Fantastic folks. Check them out all the time. I was saying, you know, I really hope that Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of the Dems are combing through their roster of all the Republicans in that House to find 6 of them who are practical enough to entice with, I don't know, some House committees, maybe some helps for their district, maybe some funding for certain things, maybe some practical Republicans who are pretty safe in their seats, maybe gerrymandered in a certain place. There has to be a place that there's like a reasonable Republican who might be safe that can just, 6 of, there has to be 6 of them.
But Brian, in this process, that political calculus doesn't exist. You want to know why? Because even in a quote unquote safe Republican district, the fear then is not that you are too extreme. The only flank that these Republican representatives will have is from the right. So if you try to pick off 6 of those moderates to come and create a coalition government with the Democrats and they receive chairmanships of the committees that they're most inclined to want to chair, their biggest threat then would not be a general election. They're not going to get to a general election because they're going to get primaried from the right for in those safe Republican districts working with the Democrats. Compromise is a dirty word to Republicans and their voters. So, yes, the Aaron Sorkin-esque solution to this, where you get the middle of Congress coming together and saying, yes, we have 218 votes, some from the Republican side of the aisle, some from the Democratic side of the aisle, would make for excellent television 15, 20 years ago. But it's not going to happen, which is why we've been seeing these Democrats play hardball in Congress. There hasn't been any defectors from the Democratic side.
But you still got to try.
Sure, right? But why not let the just flagrantly flopping around? Republicans are in disarray. Why lean out a hand to help them at this point?
You're not helping them.
There's no benefit.
Speaker Jeffries would be handing assignments to the six new independents.
How it gets resolved would be still a moderate consensus GOP candidate, not a Speaker's Jeffrey. Like, I don't see it happening, but... And I think Democrats know that in Congress as well, and they're more than fine with taking a week, or maybe two, to have Kevin McCarthy really flail around, be exposed for the inability to govern that I've known for some time that Republicans could not do. But let's show it to the American people that this is what you get with a Republican slim Republican majority in the House of Representatives.
I know. My point is wouldn't that even be better if, like, hey, even your own people are like, this is stupid. We still need to get stuff done, and my people need some funding.
Yeah, they just haven't got there yet. This is only day four of it. There's only day four.
Only day four. I'm just saying, at this point, they really look dumb, and every other word on Fox News is like, this is dumb. This is dumb.
No. Tucker Carlson took the same approach that Representative Mike Gallagher took, saying, this, it's messy, but that's how it's supposed to be, even though this is the first time since the 1850s that it's happened like this. This is how it's supposed to be, Brian.
It's stupid, but that's how it's supposed to be. Hey, fun fact. see, 14 isn't that so crazy of a number, because the French had 14 Louis.
No, I think they made it all the way to 16.
Well, they at least had 14. I think something happened to the 14th one is really what I'm trying to bring up here.
If I recall correctly, 16 was the one that was...
Well, I could be wrong, though.
It's been a little while since European history, isn't it?
Isn't the Roman numerals that's messing you up?
Wherever that I lands before or after
the IV. It's the IV, I'm pretty sure. Either way, it was Louis. And I'm pretty sure we'll get to 16 anyway, so we can bring that up later otherwise.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. Stay tuned to your civic media station. We're going to be right back.
14 is the number of the day right now. Let's go! Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And a couple things here. This song is awesome. Time Stand Still by Rush. Go listen to it. Buddy of mine threw that up here and this morning and made me cry all morning long. I've had this song in my head. It's fantastic. It's the idea, you can't look at the past, you can't look at the future, because at the end of the day, the only thing that is real is right now.
The present, where you're slapping the bass, man.
Yeah, always, slap the bass, guys.
Slapping the bass.
But to continue from the last segment, I just want to remind everybody, how can you tell that this is not a right-wing program?
When we admit that we've been wrong.
I was going to say the following three words. I was wrong.
Well, I don't have to admit them, though, so that's okay.
That's right. The whole thing, it was the 16th that had his head removed, and the 14th was a cognac. Or is it cognac?
Yeah, well, he was the sun god. The sun god was the 14th one.
The sun king.
Rest in peace to Mr. Letizia, my AP European history teacher in high school. He did a terrific job and instilled a lot of different random facts that when I'm playing Jeopardy or trivia at a bar, I do still can call upon that. I can still call upon that information because of Mr. Letizia's excellent teaching.
Fun fact, my grandfather was a history major at Princeton. My mom also started off her teaching career. She has a master's in teaching history. I did not get credit for my AP history class.
I think I eked out a 3. I think I eked out a 3 just barely.
But I did get to the AP history thing, and a lot of it was the essays and participation. I'm all about the talk and the debating and the talking about the events. Like, I was great at that part.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole, all right, now go and read this entire gigantic book and tell me what it means in context. And I'm like, but that doesn't give me, I just, why? You're horrible. This is horrible. This is why nobody knows any of this stuff. And that's why someone like me, who normally does know his stuff, completely confuses Louis the 14th and Louis the 16th.
It was the Roman numerals. Way, that's all it was.
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
But not to be confused.
It was the cognac. It was the cognac is all I'm saying. Okay. The very expensive cognac. That's what it is.
And not to be confused with the speaker's race in Washington, D.C., we now have another one that we wanted to cover earlier in this week, but it was your story, so I wanted to save it for us being on the airwaves together, Brian. And there was a different House speaker election that occurred this week that got kind of crazy, too.
Yes, an insane situation here. Now, the national papers and everybody that will tell you, when you go and look into this, will go and tell you that this was a wonderful, amazing act of bipartisanship. And I'm talking about the OHI, oh my God, Speaker of the House vote, okay? Ohio is similarly gerrymandered to Wisconsin. I'm going to sum this up as quickly as possible. Essentially, they had a right-wing evangelical type of backed guy who was their de facto Speaker of the House, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This guy somehow, magically this week, got voted against by most of the Republicans and then about 22 Democrats in this gerrymandered House to go and find a moderate Republican. And people will tell you, wow, this is amazing bipartisanship, but it's interesting that they're doing the right thing for the completely wrong reasons, and here's why. The actual story, the backstory of all this, you can find at The Rooster, which is a local publication and very, you know, pretty well respected in Ohio from what I understand. Check out The Rooster's take on it because So the guy who was the de facto right-wing hardline guy who's had a history of anti-LGBTQ legislation, things mm-hmm. like that, funny enough, was found with another GOP member of the same legislature.
Former member of that legislature.
Former, sorry. And they were rubbing suntan lotion all over each other's bodies in not a, hey, buddy, kind of way.
And it didn't seem very platonic.
No, it wasn't. And I'm totally all for that. That's fantastic. The problem is that the anti-LGBT legislation and the fact that everybody voted against him because basically he was outed. On top of that, The Rooster did do a couple paragraphs explaining, I do not out people, but this has to be outed because, my goodness, this is exactly why this happened. It wasn't bipartisanship. It wasn't anything. It was all for, once again, for spite and for hate.
Yeah.
So the GOP is in disarray on the macro level and on the micro level. Congratulations, OHIO, my goodness. And I encourage you to look up The Rooster and check out the it's not just us in Wisconsin. I don't know if misery loves company, but I guess they do.
Wisconsin is not the only state that is victim to gerrymandering that has forced this very hyper-partisan government at the state level onto its citizens. And Ohio is a case. We saw earlier today that the state court in South Carolina had maps stricken down because unconstitutional gerrymandering there as well. So these stories and this Republican in disarray events that we are seeing right now stem from a lot of different aspects of hindering democracy over recent years. And really excited to be able to have Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign coming up next segment to have a conversation with us. But before we get there, let's go to the phone lines. We've got Joe in Madison calling in. Joe, what's on your mind today?
Hi, guys. Great to hear you and great subjects as always. I'm taking a tangent, but it'll come back to current events. Briefly, I'd be curious to hear what you had to say, Brian, with your background in acting and understanding production and the narrative story in fictional films, what you think of this, which is that it's great to have a wonderful hero, but oh boy, what about those bad guys? It's really important in the fictional world to think of a bad guy who really takes it to the limit. And I would say that we've had that this week. In a narrative form, you might, for example, have a fire captain who turns out to be the arsonist who's actually burning properties and children die as a result of it. Or it might be that nurse who's actually killing her patients, although she's considered to be the kindest, sweetest person in the world. Earlier this week, and I hope it doesn't get lost, our Republican Senator Johnson, more came out about this guy and his role with pick your term, fraudulent electors, alternative electors, I would say the fascist fake electors. So yeah. We have a...
I'm sorry to cut you short there, Joe. We did discuss that. William Walter and I did discuss it on Wednesday's show. So if you want to check out a previous edition of Dueling Tangents this past Wednesday, we had that convo. But we really appreciate your phone call. We got Matt Rothschild coming up next. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian, and we are joined here in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, how you doing on this Friday afternoon?
I'm doing well. It's great to see you and Luke. You and Brian, Luke. It's great to be back on. I'm a little rusty here at the beginning of the year, but yeah, it's nice to be here with you.
Well, we appreciate you stopping in.
How are you celebrating Insurrection Day? I understand the tradition is to, rather than bring a gift, to steal one from others.
You know, I see that Biden was given awards, National Presidential Medal of Freedom awards, to the people who, 9 or 10 of the people who stood up and did the right thing, including the police officers. I'm hoping next year he gives awards to Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, too, because I think they deserve awards as well.
For sure.
I want to see some more indictments. Those are what I want to see.
Well, that's what I'm waiting for, and that's what's on my mind today. Because
those are also awards.
2 years later, Merrick Garland just stalling forever. I mean, I know he appointed Jack Smith, but I don't think he needed to appoint Jack Smith. I think he could have indicted Trump long ago. And so I'm just terribly frustrated in the pace of the Attorney General of the United States. I'm also terribly frustrated in the pace of the Attorney General for the state of Wisconsin, Josh Call, and the district attorney of Dane County, where the false electors committed their crimes, Ish Ozan. Why aren't the prosecutors in Wisconsin prosecuting these guys? That's what baffles me today and enrages me. I mean, if a guy robbed a bank 2 years ago, that person would have been arrested and tried for robbing the bank. More than, a year ago, that person would have been nabbed. And these guys were doing it, and we knew about it for the last 2 years, and no one's been apprehended. No indictments have come down. No one's facing trial. And we got to have accountability in our democracy, especially for crimes against our democracy. Like Joe Biden said just about a half hour ago, these were crimes against our democracy. Our democracy was under attack, as Biden said, 2 years ago. And the attackers here in Wisconsin, the co-conspirators in the attack, haven't been apprehended. And
one of them got a job on the reelection campaign for U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Like, it's not even that they're not being held accountable. They're not seeing any ramifications for the fraud that they committed back in December of 2020, signing on those fraudulent elector sheets that Donald Trump won the state's 10 electoral votes when he didn't.
Yeah, and they were trying to deprive 1,630,000 Wisconsinites of their legitimate votes. I mean, it was an outrageous theft. And you mentioned Ron Johnson. Why isn't Ron Johnson under investigation by Merrick Garland or by Josh Call? I mean, there's a statute in Wisconsin called the Misconduct in Public Office Statute that I just took a look at because Law Forward, the great progressive law firm in Wisconsin, said the false electors should be hit with this charge. Ron Johnson could be hit with it, too. I mean, if any officer is in excess of the officer's lawful authority, which Ron Johnson was when, as it came out this week, told the legislature just to throw out those votes and call Trump the winner. And then, of course, we know what Ron Johnson did on January 6th, 2 years ago, minutes before the Electoral College got underway. He tried to hand off the false elector slate from Wisconsin and somehow from Michigan, too.
Because
it depends.
They didn't have a Republican senator, so that's how it was for Michigan.
Fun fact, the person who tried to hand that off and recommended handing those things off to Ron Johnson also got hired by Ron Johnson to for $20,000 to go and advise him in case there was a recount.
Jim Tropis. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he should be charged, too. I mean, really, we had people who tried to steal an election, and they're getting away with it.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they didn't succeed. So it's not like in your burglary analogy where there's, you know, there's no charges for attempted burglary, right? So nobody ever. Wait.
Oops. Wait, Brian. Oh, that's right. I have something to tell you. Attempted burglary is a crime.
That sounds good. And Louis XIV was beheaded. Anyway.
I think that's Louis XVI. I'm with Luke on this one.
No, you're absolutely correct.
We backtracked it. Brian's just living in his reality now.
It's a callback. Yes, it's a callback.
Yes.
Not recall, because recall would get me the right answer.
And, you know, some of these false electors, including Andrew Hitt, the former chairman of the Republican Party, even though they had misgivings about what they were doing, you know, if they're driving the robber to the bank who's robbing the bank, they're an accomplice in the crime.
I'm just saying, just because they reluctantly do that and they reluctantly drive the getaway car doesn't mean that they weren't driving the getaway car.
Yeah, I mean, come on, no. So, how much evidence does a prosecutor really need? I mean, prosecutors Michigan were doing it, in Georgia are doing it, in Wisconsin they're not doing it.
If they need evidence, we asked for it, actually. The Devils and myself were charged with entering a locked building during the lockdown, during the pandemic. The Capitol was closed at the time that the false electors entered into the building. Well, they happened to enter in the building about a week or two before or after, around the same time as we entered in with our devil tree to go and put up and sing carols to the idiots, who one of them happened to be Tim Brampton. It was very interesting. So it was fun. Fun was had by all. And it turns out that we pushed it to trial. We want to go to trial with this because our attorney subpoenaed all of the people who were involved in the fake elector scheme, and so they promptly dropped the suit and dropped all the charges, and then did not have to. My point is that there's something there, and they're worried, and they care enough to just say, "Oh, well, not we'll just drop it."
And Scott Fitzgerald evidently let him in, let him in.
Yeah. Somebody in his office was
the room for him.
The staff.
They had an armed guard.
Yeah,
I like that little color. They came with guns.
They did. They were escorted with it was an unmarked car that drove them to the Capitol from an undisclosed location, and they committed fraud. And they knew they were committing fraud, because why else are you going with armed security? Like,
if they didn't think that they were committing something, did they think they were celebrities or something? Like, we're very special here.
And remember, this was in Dane County. Ishmael Lozon is the district attorney of Dane County. I want some of your listeners to send emails to Ish Lozon and urge him to prosecute these guys. And send emails to Josh Call, too. I mean, these guys have nothing to fear politically if they're worried about their careers. They're in Dane. I mean, Ish is in Dane County. Josh Call just won re-election for another 4 years. Come on now, guys. Get on it.
Who knows? Some people might even really enjoy that they're actually taking action against people who are committing crimes against me.
Yeah, it's got to be a plus for Ozon in Dane County. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it seems like it's a no-brainer, and you have an excellent piece written up over at WisconsinDemocracyCampaign.org, your website, where you outline the case for why those investigations and charges need to be brought forward, because it's been 2 years, more than 2 years in the case of, it was December of 2020 when that fraud was committed. And so it's about time that some accountability is had there. We've also now seen another interesting aspect that's unfolded this week that I wanted to ask you about, is what Wisconsin Democracy Campaign does with dark money. And we've pretty much seen an open agreement from one of the largest dark money groups in the country, along with the Political Action Committee for the Republican leadership in the House of Representatives, agree to a ceasefire, essentially, and allow Kevin McCarthy to have an easier time receiving the votes he needs to receive to become the next Speaker of the House. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that, Matt?
Sure. This was a little bit of extortion by the far-right crazies in the Republican Party to get their funder, which is Club for Growth, which is funded primarily by Richard Eline, by the way.
Here in Wisconsin. Oh, there's always a Wisconsin tie, yeah. Brian. There's always a Wisconsin tie.
Eline has given $34 million to Club for Growth since 2018. I mean, that's a lot of change. Club for Growth spent $70 million on federal elections last year. They also spent about $3.5 million to throw at Rebecca Clayfish's face and help defeat her and hand the nomination to Tim Michaels.
That Which was kind of a shocker at the
wasn't
time.
Wasn't real clever. But anyway, the right wingers, they like Club for Growth. Club for Growth supports real far right wing candidates and primaries in general. Club for Growth spent $70 million in the last election. But look at McCarthy's Congressional Leadership Fund, spent $227 million. That's all, you know, 3.5 times as much. They're the big boys. Club for Growth is kind of the snappy little dog behind them. But the snappy little dog won this agreement from Congressional Leadership Fund, McCarthy's PAC, that McCarthy will not get involved in primary races or in open primaries in the Republican Party. A Club for Growth can still sail in there, evidently, so they'll be able to have more power than ever in primaries, which means we'll have more far, far right-wing Republican candidates probably winning in the primaries. But this is the little game of extortion that the far-right crazies in the Republican Party just succeeded in pulling off.
Yeah, it seems like a huge win for the Freedom Caucus and the most extreme MAGA Republicans in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, I'm with Brian. I don't understand why some of the most moderate members of the Republicans said, enough is enough. I can't deal with this anymore. I'm now an independent. I'm joining the Democrats. Let's get Jeffries in there as Speaker.
Just to get things done. Just to even look like you're doing a job. How does this even work out? I don't understand.
The way that
this dark money situation, the ceasefire, works out, is this part of the concessions from McCarthy? Because otherwise, it seems like he's shooting himself in the foot
or in the head.
I mean, let's put out the fire with more gasoline. If we put enough gasoline on it, maybe it'll extinguish it by itself. It's like throwing a nuclear bomb in the middle of a fire to go and like take the fire away, but like there's no sense.
It's like creating an alliance with the people that eat faces and then being shocked when they come back to eat your face. It's like what are we doing here, folks?
Yeah, I mean, to me it means he knows he's only going to serve max 2 years.
Yeah,
because 2 years.
But it's his dream. He just wants to put it on his resume.
I would say, do you think he's going to even last 2 years? Because the concessions, it seems, if he becomes the Speaker of the House, any single member can vacate the chair at any given time, so I don't think he's going to make it 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I say, max. But
yeah,
you know, it is sad, and it is just kind of a morality play, as Brian was saying. Is just, you know, this is what I'll do for my ambition. Yeah. I'll do anything for my ambition.
So a blank check, awesome. And he's getting to the bottom of that barrel of being able to deliver on that blank check.
So I mean, again, a perfect world. And again, I'm not Aaron Sorkin. And besides, if I was, he'd leave out half of the story and complain that, you know, somehow they won the entire thing with no pitching staff. But anyway, point is, I completely lost my track with Aaron. The ending here that I would love to see is, let's say Kevin McCarthy finally gets in the Speaker and they finally swear in everybody and everybody's there. Well, we just are now 20 members shy because those people just got prosecuted. They've been removed from office for the indictments. And now Speaker Hakeem Jeffries takes the floor.
Well,
goodbye, Kevin McCarthy. You got your way for one day.
It would be pretty wild. And if we see accountability for these individuals, because there are members of Congress that have accountability, I think, too.
Van Orden himself.
Yeah, Van Orden's there. Jim Jordan seems to be pretty involved in those text messages with Mark Meadows, the former chief of staff and former chair of the Freedom Caucus, before taking that chief of staff position for former President Donald Trump. There's implications all around, and accountability would be pretty sweeping and have a big deal. It would make a big impact on the makeup of the House of Representatives if we actually saw accountability 2 years after January 6th. But it doesn't seem like there's going to be one of these kind of theoretical situations, as I did see get floated. Justin Amash, former Republican turned independent member of Congress from Michigan, apparently was just staking out the Speaker's office this week saying, I'm available if you need me. And so it seems like there's no shortage of crazy ideas getting thrown around right now without Kevin McCarthy being able to achieve that 218 votes.
He's getting closer, though. But I do hope the Democrats were trying to figure out every angle here. And if there was an angle to flip a few of the moderate New England Republicans, if that species still exists, that would have been a move. That would be a Hollywood power play for sure.
Yeah. We are speaking to Matt Rothschild. You are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Matt is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. 2-year anniversary of January 6th. Excellent piece written up about accountability needed for Senator Ron Johnson and the 10 fraudulent electors over at Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's website. And Matt, we're coming up here on a break, but in this next segment, I want to discuss a little bit about what we can do for democracy here in 2023. Outside of Josh Call, as you mentioned, had his second inaugural address earlier this week. There are a number of other inaugural addresses given. Governor Tony Evers for his second term, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez for her first term as Lieutenant Governor, and Secretary of State Doug LaFollette as well for his 12th inaugural address. 12. So we're going to get into a little bit more about democracy here on the home front in Wisconsin. You're listening. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Go ahead, Bri.
He can't break. He's won 12 times and McCarthy's lost 14. This is amazing.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. Final segment of the week when we come back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, at Dueling Tangents. You can also follow the network, at Civic Media US. And if you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. We are joined in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Matt Rothschild. Everything all right, Bri? You reading something funny?
I'm just every now and then I keep checking in on CNN, keeps updating on the Speaker of the House vote, and it just, there's nothing new. I mean, he lost, like, I 13 or 4. I think we're on 14 now.
It's got to be
whatever.
14.
Point is, it, like, what
oh,
is
no,
it,
they
what
just
is
adjourned.
He's, oh, good for him.
11 minutes ago, the House is adjourned until 10 p.m. Eastern time. So they're coming back tonight.
Oh, they're going to come back
They're
going to
do it in the middle of the night.
What is it? So it's like a turkey of turkeys plus two turkeys at that point.
That's
right?
A page
that,
out of the
like,
Wisconsin
what's a negative
book.
Turkey?
I don't know what a negative turkey is.
Like if you were bowling, that's like
yeah,
two,
if
like
you flip
two
it,
full games of gutter balls.
Just zero. It's just nothing. It's going 0 for 12 just, or whatever, or 0 for 20 or whatever the how many balls you would get to throw in that game.
It's not good.
Yeah, he's on his way there. He's 0 for 13 so far. It's going to come up to a 14th ballot, and it doesn't look like we're going to get that before this evening. So it sounds GOP is still trying to see if they can adjourn until 10 p.m. Eastern to allow members to return to vote. So it seems I did see something. There was a representative-elect from Texas that headed back to Texas earlier this morning, and so I don't know if they don't have the numbers or what, but the House does not have a speaker.
I mean, it's so weird, too. People brought their families there for the pictures for the swearing in. And, you know, how many hotel rooms do they have to extend, you know, and for how many nights?
Hey, it's all on taxpayer dime. It doesn't matter. Just so you know, 14 is tied for the Chicago Cubs in 1997 for the most losses to start a season for MLB. That is not the record, however. McCarthy will need another couple more to get to 21, which is held by the 88 Baltimore Orioles. So congratulations, Kevin McCarthy. You're as good as the Cubs, and I'm wearing my Wrigleyville shirt.
You are.
How awesome.
You are.
I didn't even know we were supposed to be matching today, and it turns out we are, Kevin. That's great.
For the time being. Hey, he hasn't lost 14 yet, so he's still got a chance to make it on the 14th.
Maybe tonight.
Ballot.
Maybe tonight he can tie the Cubs. Right now he's tied with the 1920 Detroit Tigers.
There you go. But we are joined in studio by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
That team incidentally had a big racist on their team. Anyway, let's move on.
Those tangents aside, democracy here in Wisconsin. We've got a really important state Supreme Court race coming up this spring. The primary about 6.5 weeks away, general taking place on April 4th. What are you seeing in that race, Matt? Do you think what do you believe is going to shake out here over the next couple months when it comes to that really pinnacle race for Wisconsin's democracy?
Yeah, I mean, it is totally pivotal. And let's remember the Wisconsin Supreme Court right now is 4-3 in the hands of the conservatives. One of the arch reactionaries, Pat Rogensack, is stepping off the bench. thank God. And so it would be 3-3 once she steps off. So whoever replaces her is going to determine the ideological direction of the court. And so this could make a huge difference for those of us here in Wisconsin on a whole range of issues. The one that comes top of mind is abortion. Already Josh Call, who I was criticizing in the last segment, has done a good thing this segment, challenging that 1849 law that prohibits abortion in Wisconsin. He's saying there have been laws passed since then that make that law not only antique but invalid. And so the courts are going to have to decide that in Wisconsin, which means it's going to get to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So if you care about abortion rights, you should really care about this Supreme Court race coming up in April. Other issues, gerrymandering. I mean, it's possible if a justice is elected in April who understands that gerrymandering is depriving the people of Wisconsin of their proper and fair representation, that a law firm like Law Forward or some other group would bring a lawsuit to the Wisconsin Supreme Court challenging the maps.
Yeah, and, like we just saw in South Carolina today. Right. So, had maps thrown out, and there's going to be a redrawing of maps in South Carolina because of the illegal gerrymander.
I mean, wouldn't that be great? I mean, we've had these rigged maps here since 2011, and they were worse in 2021. So look it. Supreme Court races are really important in Wisconsin, and I'm just encouraging everyone who's listening to mark their calendars for April 4th, which is going to just be a huge day here to determine the direction of the court. There's a primary in February, which is going to be important too. There are two liberals running, two conservatives running. It's supposed to be a nonpartisan race. I wish it were a nonpartisan race. That's the ideal, to have impartial justice. But at this point, you know, there's going to be a lot of right-wing money for the right-wing candidates and a lot of liberal money for the liberal candidates.
Yeah, it seems to be that's the way that it shakes out in the most recent Supreme Court races that we've had.
And it shakes out that way because Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce over the last 10 years has just been buying justices.
And well, the Republican-led legislature allowed it to happen because campaign finance was essentially done away with. There are no holds bar when it comes to campaign finance now, and you can see these groups organizing essentially with...
One of the first things that Walker did was to throw out a law that the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and Common Cause helped get on the books, which was the impartial justice law, which was public financing for Supreme Court races in Wisconsin. They didn't want that. They threw it out, and it's been an arms race ever since.
Yeah.
So Walker threw it out? That's funny, because Cableman was also funded by the same people on the way in, and then that... Exactly. That also affected how dark money is used in this state. But again, we only have a couple minutes left. My question with all of this, and yes, this is all like absolute type of workarounds and corruption and ridiculous, like out in your, but for what? For what do you get? Because, and I got to ask you, I mean, I heard the phrase once when we were, you know, trying to think about revolution and whatnot, no taxation without representation. And the last couple of years, we've gotten no representation beyond March. Right. So to what end is this happening? Is it just that they just want the government shut down, or like we're not getting anything from this action that they keep continuing to take?
Well, you and I aren't getting anything, but the corporations in Wisconsin are getting a lot. I mean, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce has poured something like $29 million since 2010 to get Republicans dominant in the legislature, and they helped Walker hang on there, and these right-wing justices. And what do they get from that? Less regulation. You know, take it out of the workers' hide, destroy the union movement. That's what they got. They're glowing about it. They're bragging about it.
Yeah, and it's we're seeing that the money is still there to invest in services and be able to provide for Wisconsin taxpayers, all the way up to $6.9 billion surplus now. And so it's going to be absolutely an interesting Supreme Court race. There's a lot of different democracy causes, democratic causes to keep an eye on. So we really appreciate you joining us here on this Friday afternoon, Matt. We hope to have you back real soon. Folks,
anytime. Thanks for having me. Go Pack, go.
Yeah. Then if you want to hear an excellent show about Packer Outright Opinions, that airs tonight at 7 p.m. Jason Hafeman and his brother Ben host that at 7 p.m. So you're going to want to tune in there. If you missed any portion of this great Civic Media product, go to civicmedia.us. Click on the Dueling Tangents tab. You can see podcasts of all past shows. You can follow the show on Twitter. And Brian, that's the first week of 2023. We got it in the books.
We made it.
We did it. We did it. Main Street Alliance is going to be joining us next Tuesday. Everyone have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later.